Cultivate Simple, Episode 8. Home is where the work is.
I'd rather be a farmer. I'd rather work the land. I'd rather see the mountainsides.
Welcome to the Cultivate Simple podcast. A podcast... An honest and unrehearsed discussion about trying to live a more simple life. And this is episode 8. Today, oh man, just bumped my mic. We're not starting off well here at the old, at the old Ohio studios for the Cultivate Simple podcast. Did I even give what the line is? This is episode 8. Today we're going to be discussing the difficulties and benefits of working from home, which seems to work in well to that introduction. And I am Mr. Chiyotz, a.k.a. Brian, and I've got my lovely and talented assistant and wife,
Susie.
Which actually, I'm more of the assistant, so I don't, you know, I just want to get that out there in the open so nobody calls me on it. But today we're going to be discussing working from home. And speaking of working from home, the Chiyotz Run calendar is out.
That's right.
So if you're looking for a good Christmas gift, you might want to head over to the blog at chiyotzrun.com and click on the pictures of the calendar in the sidebar, and then you can get a calendar because they're really pretty.
That's right.
And then when the year is over, you can take them apart, you can frame the pictures, and you can have some nice art. And then when people say, "Why, that's beautiful art. Wherever did you get such beautiful photos?" you can say, "Ah, chiyotzrun.com." And then by the time they get home, they'll forget how to spell it, and the world will be right. So at any rate, that would really help us out, though. That gives us a... we get just a little bit of a kickback from Lulu, and it helps to pay for our Christmas gifts because we give the calendar out as Christmas gifts to our family and some of our friends. So, so thank you for paying for our Christmas. Oh boy. But we are back in Ohio this week. We came back to, for several reasons, one to celebrate Thanksgiving with family, with both sides of our family. And so we did that and had a, when we celebrated with Susie's family, we got an amazing smoked turkey.
From Martha's Farm in Ashland, which I've talked about on the blog before.
Yeah.
It's just phenomenal. It so happened that we got a smoked turkey last year by accident. I ordered a fresh turkey from her and somehow it mixed up and my dad went over and picked one up and he showed up at home with a smoked turkey.
Which your dad and I were talking about that and we're thinking that maybe Martha's just a genius at marketing and just, you know.
Yeah, because the smoked turkeys are more expensive, but...
But they're
amazing. Because I don't really like turkey, so Thanksgiving's never been my... the holiday, which is funny because I spend all day cooking this awesome turkey and I usually brine it and with some spices and some orange slices and salt and all kinds of stuff, and then never eat much of it because I don't really like it. But the smoked turkey is really good. It tastes, I don't know, kind of like ham, like turkey ham almost, but it's really, really, really good, and it makes a wonderful stock when you boil down all the smoked bones. They're just fantastic for bean soup or making pumpkin soup with some today.
And then we went over and visited with my family yesterday and got to experience what my grandpa calls a house and we call a sauna. My grandpa heats with wood and always keeps it at about 85 degrees in the house. And then there was about 30 people packed into a very small house. So we got to...
Sweat it out.
Sweat out Thanksgiving.
Sweat out some of that weight we gained from the day before.
That's right. So, and then also this week, another reason I came home was to, home. Home is not here. Home is Maine now. But actually, I'm calling both places home. So that's, I guess that's, I'm in transition. But another reason we came is, deals with our show from a couple weeks ago, which was hunting. Susie's dad and I and my cousin Dan are heading down to the family hunting cabin and going to spend Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday hunting deer. So I'll give the full report on that next week. And then finally, we came back because we need to get the rest of our stuff out of our house here in Ohio. Because
sign all the papers and...
We sold our house.
C'est la vie.
And c'est la vie. And that is it. And the people, I'll say mistakenly, told us that we can take any plants that we want. And so we've rented a large moving truck, not only to get our stuff, but also to get all of the hydrangeas that I've bought for Susie over the years for birthday and for other occasions. And some of the boxwoods that she bought a few years ago, which are now getting to a semi-mature state. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to take all of that up to Maine with us.
Yeah, see how much of it survives.
Yeah. But if it doesn't, nothing lost.
Right.
You know, besides
maybe... I think they were probably going to rip it out anyways and redo the landscaping, so...
Yeah.
Either way, we might end up with some stuff.
Yeah. And it just cost us a little bit bigger moving truck, so... So next week, we're actually going to be recording in Ohio as well, because we're not leaving until Sunday. Like I said, full report next week on hunting and everything else. And so that... brings us on to the fail of the week, because we had so many plans, so many things to get done before we left Maine, and not everything got done. So we were planning on building a duck house with some of the wood that I milled out of a hemlock tree, and just didn't get to it. I mean, there were just too many things going on, and we had a busy weekend with a couple social things that we told you about last week, and just didn't get around to it. And That's really something that living a simple life, there's an interesting balance that happens in that, because as we've talked about, sometimes living a simple life is very complicated and very busy. And
it can be, certainly.
Yeah. And so especially, it always seems like for us, it's always when we're leading up to an event. So, you know, whether that be traveling or... if somebody's coming over or those sorts of things, there's always a lot of things that we get done, and it's almost like that event makes us realize that there's a lot to get done. And sometimes you find that you're just doing too many things and you can't accomplish it all, and so you have to make compromises. So no, the ducks don't have a house, but the compromise that we made is that they got a fully furnished, fully insulated, fully heated room in our garage, which is one of the offices that's off of our garage, has like an electric heat in it. And so we turned it up to about 45 degrees for mm-hmm. them in there. And we put a layer of pine bedding down, of pine shavings, down for them to run around on. And Susie picked dandelion greens all over the yard and mm-hmm. threw them in there for them to forage on, and we put food in there, a feeder in there for them, and so on. So
yeah, they'll probably be amazingly big when we get back, and a neighbor's gonna stop and check on them a couple times. But
yeah, they're starting to get, they're in that gangly teenager phase, because they've lost all their cute fluffy little feathers, and now they're starting to get their adult feathers, and so, but there's patches that are just skin, and so they just look,
yeah, they're starting to look a little not such cute little ducklings anymore.
No, now they're becoming the real thing. So, which everybody says, oh, how cute they are, and we say, well, those are actually old pictures. But in discussing this and talking about this as we came back to Ohio, it reminded Susie of an email that she received from a reader and a listener as well. And so that's our going to morph into our topic for today. It goes right along with that, with having too many irons in the fire, just having too much going on. And I think one reason for that for us is that we work from home. And the title of this podcast is Home is Where the Work Is. And you'll find out why kind of as we talk through this. Do you want to read this email?
Sure.
Okay.
I don't really know if I need to read that first part, do I?
Come on. I'll read the first part. So Allison says, I've become such a huge fan of Chiyot's Run and your podcasts. Now, I don't know if she talks in this voice, but that's how I doubt it. I listen to them while I'm at work on Monday mornings. It's one of the first things I do after I sit down at my desk. Number one, I open Gmail. Number two, open Chiyot's Run and listen to the freshly posted podcast. There, now I doted on us. Now you can read the rest of her email.
She said, I especially love the one on debt, or lack thereof, posted a few weeks ago. I found it very motivational, as I'm sure many have. Along the lines of your debt management strategies, and really your lifestyle in general, how much of it can be attributed to the fact that both you and Brian work from home? I know that a lot of people, including myself, have to drive 30 to 40 minutes to get to and from work, which puts constraints on many parts of life. Time available to work outside, garden, farm, financial impact of price of gas, etc. Do you feel that a large part of being able to live the life you do is centered around not being tied to going to an office daily? Or do you see it as an unrelated item altogether, and that those who are tied to a typical 8-to-5 job would be just as capable of to pull off living a fairly self-sufficient, holistic lifestyle?
So that's a good question. And when,
yeah, and I started answering it in an email and thought this is just going to take too long
to write it out.
Yeah. So I thought we can just talk about this in a podcast.
Because it is a good question, and I think it's something that a lot of people...
And it's something I hear a lot.
Either misunderstand one way or the other. You know, some people think that you have to have a lifestyle like ours where we're both self-employed, we both work from home in order to do what we're doing. And then there are some people who think that being self-employed and working at home and doing all that we're doing is easy, and therefore we have the time to do it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a very slight difference there, but huge in the way that people view the lifestyle that we've chosen for ourselves. And so we just wanted to talk a little bit about that today and talk about working from home and sort of how we came to that and why we did and why we choose to continue to do it. And some of the downsides, because there are definitely some downsides to it. And
right. I think it's kind of pick your poison almost.
Right.
I think that there are benefits and drawbacks to either working somewhere or working from home. I mm-hmm. think you just have to decide which, if the benefits outweigh the negatives.
Yeah.
For, you know, or for either one, or maybe you don't want to work at home, because there's definitely, I mean, it's a whole different level of responsibility, I think, mm-hmm. And a whole different level of organization mm-hmm. that you need to have in order to pull off owning your own business and working from home.
And I think one of the reasons it works for us is simply because we are talented in different ways. Susie and I very much complement each other in that she's very good with financial things, with the books, with keeping track of where the money is being spent, with keeping track of how much money is coming in, where it's coming from, you know, what expenditures we have, what we're spending the most money on, where we can cut back, where we should cut back. And I'm not very good with that. I wasn't brought up with very good money management skills. And so Susie's been teaching me a lot about that. But as far as the, you know, when a paycheck comes in for a job that I do, it goes straight to her, goes straight into the bank account, and, you know, gets spread out into our different funds that we have. And so that's one thing. I think that's definitely an advantage to working at home is being able to track all that and being able to make all of the money that you're making. So when you're working for somebody else, you're getting paid a wage. And the good thing is that wage is semi-guaranteed, you know, unless the company shuts down and then you lose your job or you're laid off or, you know, they cut back on hours or whatever reason. You pretty much know, and you have a good feeling that there's going to be a paycheck at the end of the day. With being self-employed or working from home, you really have... You don't know from depending on what you do too. There's all these caveats I keep thinking about, but just speaking in general, you really don't know. You know, 6 months from now, if the job that you're doing is going to continue, or if you're going to have to go out and look for other work. Like right, I do website development, and little plug if anybody needs website work. But I do website development for a university and for a couple other companies, and while that work is there now, and with the university, I have an ongoing contract. But with some of the other companies, that work is only a 2-week basis. And so I don't know after that 2 weeks, are they going to want me to do more work? Is there more that they're going to need? Or am I going to have to go out and find a different client? And I think that's like that with a lot of home industries. You know, if you're selling a little something, if you make, Susie has a friend that makes little felted wool animals, you know, and there's a market for that now and people are doing that, but is there going to be a market for that in 3 months or 6 months? So that's definitely an advantage and a disadvantage. But then again, it's an advantage on the working for yourself side because, like Susie said, you know, sort of the buck stops here, that if there's no work, it's because I haven't been going out and looking for it. Where if you're working for a company, you aren't necessarily guaranteed that, you know, upper management is taking care of everything and that you're going to have a job. Right. So I don't know. I guess I completely negated what I said in the first part.
I think it depends on what you, I think some people don't necessarily have job stability. I think the majority of people we know that work 9-to-5 jobs do, for the most part, they pretty much know it's still some, unless something really crazy happens, they're going to have their job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just such an interesting thing. Yeah.
A definite advantage to working at home is, like Allison mentioned here, a 30 to 40 minute commute. And right after college, we lived in Cincinnati, and we're working different jobs. And I had a 30 minute drive one way. And, you know, you think about that, that's not only an hour a day that you're spending, or, you know, an hour and a half a day that you're spending in the car, sort of time wasted almost. I mean, you can listen to podcasts or listen to audiobooks and get a little bit of education, but really, I mean, it's kind of time wasted.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, with the price of gas, you know, how much money are you spending a week on gas?
Right.
So that's a definite advantage to working at home. Of course, then you have the other side of that. Again, depending on your business, you might have to go meet with clients. And
right.
So
and we
you still
would
have
drive,
that commute.
Yeah. Like back when we did weddings, we'd be driving 4 hours on Saturday to get to and from an event, and sometimes an hour in that day. So we'd be driving 5 hours that week,
right?
So for
that's
our
pretty
jobs.
Much
so that's like having an hour commute every day. So
only
I think
we just did it in a chunk.
Yeah, and I think that when you're self-employed, you almost spend that time doing other things, mm-hmm. because if you think about it, when you're self-employed, you are your marketing department, your HR department, you're the accounting department, your payroll, if you're a small business like ours, you pretty much do everything. So you have to find the time to add all that in on top of your work, because you're not necessarily making money for those hours that you're working, because
mm-hmm.
you make money for the jobs that you do, and you have to make sure that you're charging enough to balance out all of the hours that you're spending, even trying to get clients that you don't end up getting, because that's all time that you need to figure out. And you need to get paid for that time somehow, which means charging your other clients to make up for that time.
Right.
But you still have to spend all that time, even though you're not necessarily getting paid for it. So, yeah, it's just,
another thing to consider in that vein is that some people aren't good at marketing themselves or their products.
Right.
And some people aren't good at, you know, accounting, and some people aren't good at all these different types of things. And we've had friends that have had failed businesses because of one of these things, and because either they didn't seek professional help or they were only good at whatever the skill was. So, you know, wedding videography, they were only good at going out and shooting the weddings. So therefore they had to hire somebody to do their accounting, and they had to hire somebody to do the marketing. And, you know, so then you have more expenses than you can justify with your prices. So it's definitely a balance within that too.
Right. I think a lot of times, I don't know, we enjoy working from home and we like it, and our business is fairly successful. We're not making $1 million. We live a fairly comfortable life, mostly because we're very frugal.
Right.
I don't know that we could maintain a lifestyle that a lot of our friends do on the salaries that we make, because we don't work from home to make a lot of money. We could definitely probably make more money if we both had professional jobs elsewhere.
Well, and a lot of people have asked us about hiring employees and growing our own business, but you know, that comes with its headaches too.
That comes with added responsibility as
right.
well.
And we're not trying to do it to make $1 million. We're trying to do it
right.
to
So, yeah. So, yeah. I think that it's not that, like, she, I think perhaps that's part of the, I think a lot of times people assume when you work from home, you're making more money because they know you charge X amount of money for, say, this service, but they fail to consider or add in that you have all the extra hours you're working that you're not getting paid for, and you have all the equipment that you have to maintain depending on your business. I mean, we're maintaining thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of business that we have to save up money for, and we have to replace. So when we get a when we get a check for a service that we've done or for a job that we've completed, I set aside a certain amount of that to cover all of our taxes, because you have to pay self-employment tax, which is more, which is the extra part that your business pays on your Social Security and Medicare.
Typically, your business will pay half of
your Social Security and Medicare,
where we have to pay the full amount ourselves.
So you have to be aware that you have to pay more taxes as a self-employed person. So I set aside money for that. I have to set aside money to maintain and replace equipment, which needs replaced, you know, every couple of years. So, I mean, if you say you make $50,000 at your job, if you want to become self-employed, you don't have to just find clients for $50,000. You're going to have to find clients for probably about $80,000 or $90,000 in order to, or probably more like $100 depending, or $100,000 depending on your profit margin. But you're going to have to find $100,000 worth of business in order to bring home a $50,000 salary. And, you know, and some businesses have higher overhead. It, you know, it kind of depends on your business. I would say that's a pretty good average. I mean, but that's something you have to consider too. So there's a lot that goes into being self-employed and working from home. And I think that the hours that we don't spend driving and stuff, we often spend trying to get new clients and coming up with new ideas and just trying to keep our business going. Because it's a lot of work to keep things going.
And another thing that, to go back to that for just a minute and sort of emphasize, we've said it a couple times, but the one of the biggest advantages, I think, is being your own boss, because you don't have to answer to anyone. You don't have anyone. I know we recently had someone that we know that, you know, didn't like how the boss was doing something, and it was stupid. I mean, the way that the corporations do things sometimes is ridiculous, and the policies are ridiculous, and they waste time. And so, you know, this person decided to not do that, and as a result, lost their job. And so you are your own boss. I mean, you can make your own policies. You can do those, do all those things. But again, it's kind of a disadvantage too, because if something doesn't work, or if something goes wrong, or you run out of clients, or a client gets mad, you're the one that has to talk about it. Talk to that person, or handle that situation. Or if you run out of business, that's all on you. There's nobody else to blame. There's nobody else to point the finger at. You know, it all comes back to you and what you've done. And I think that I really that's one side of it I don't like, is just the handling of the bad side of things. I mean, obviously nobody's going to like that, but you know what I mean? That's like one of the worst things about it is just the negative side of it, because it's no longer that your company is dumb. It's almost like you feel like you take it very personally. And therefore, I mean, that can, if you're not an emotionally strong person, probably being self-employed is not a good idea, because you need to be able to handle that and deal with it emotionally, or it will affect you. I mean,
it's also really, it can be really stressful financially. I mean, one of the reasons that I think we've been successful too is because we have worked hard to get out of debt, because it makes it easier to be self-employed, because we don't know, we don't necessarily know, we can kind of project what our salary is going to be every year. But we don't know. I mean, what if the economy tanks and all of our clients decide that they are just going to postpone website work for a year? Then you're kind of screwed. So there's definitely stress as far as that goes as well. And I think that it's imperative to, I think if you have your own business, it's imperative to be financially responsible. We have many friends. A lot of our friends are self-employed and own their own businesses. And we've had a lot of friends that have some serious financial trouble and have had lots of trouble because they just aren't responsible.
Or some people that don't have trouble, but they... It's kind of the opposite. It's not getting into trouble, but it's then working 90 hours a week in order to maintain a lifestyle that really, you know, you're just going to run yourself into the ground before you actually pay off the debt that you've incurred.
Right. And we have friends that go into debt to start their businesses, which is just a bad foot to get off on in the first place.
And sometimes, depending on your business, sometimes you have to do that. Right. I mean, our business is kind of... Well, we built our equipment over time, but you know, if you think about like a construction business or something, that's a huge initial investment. I mean, you can't go out there with a shovel and start. I mean, you could, but you wouldn't be very successful. So yeah, that depends too.
And I want to talk too about how she mentions, and I think a lot of people think this because I hear this a lot when I talk about things. People say, "Oh, well, you can just cook meals every night because you work from home." Which is interesting because that kind of implies that I'm not really working when I'm at home, that I just kind of sit at home and...
Oh, you maintain that garden, but you go out and work on it throughout the day. And that's, you know, I can't do that because I have an office job and I don't get home until late.
Right. Yeah. And granted, yeah, you waste time at work. You know, I mean, there's inefficiency at most jobs and you end up wasting some time.
Well, and you might not Allison even said the first thing she does when she gets to work on Monday morning.
And at least she's listening to a podcast to make use of some of that time.
And I do that while I'm working, you know, too.
But I think that, yeah, that's one of the benefits of working from home is you can kind of work your schedule around if you want to. If I want to start a loaf of bread in the morning, I can. And then I can check on it in the afternoon and roll it out in the evening and then bake it that night. Generally, I don't do it that way. Usually, I do it on a day that I've kind of taken as slightly an off day.
Because Susie also has the knack of burning things by putting them on the stove and going off to work for 10 minutes and working for 20 minutes. But anyway.
Right. But and while it does make certain things easier, I think that I don't think a lot of people realize that when you work from home, you have to spend more hours working.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is if you take time... If you take 10 minutes here and 10 minutes there and 10 minutes there, that means that's an extra half hour that you have to spend in the evening working to catch up with that work that you didn't do while you were, you know, out puttering around the garden or baking bread.
Right. And so, yeah, sometimes I do that during the day, but that means that I'm working then. I don't get off work until 8 or 9 o'clock that night. Mm-hmm. So we generally try not to do that. We generally try to get up and work, you know, a stint in the morning and then do lunch, or not lunch because we don't really eat lunch, but do our afternoon coffee. And then we work, you know, until kind of normal hours. And then I fix supper and we do stuff in the evenings.
We try to relax in the evenings. Doesn't always happen.
Right. And then sometimes we do take some time off in the afternoon and spend a couple hours in the afternoon doing stuff outside. But then we end up working that. Mm. Then we have to work that night until 9 o'clock or whatever. So, I mean, we prefer not to do that because it's really hard to go to sleep at night if you've been working until a half an hour before you go to bed. So in general, I think we kind of keep a similar schedule to what most people do, but we also work pretty much 7 days a week.
Right.
There might be a lot of times on Saturday and Sundays, we'll only work half days and then we'll use those afternoons to get our work done. And then we often will still work an hour or two in the evening. But I think biggest challenge for us is that we don't have a set schedule. Mm-hmm. So we don't have our evenings off. We don't have weekends off. We pretty much work all the time and try to find time in there to weave in the things that we want to do.
And I think, and that's where the title of the podcast came from, is Home is Where the Work Is, because that's one thing that I would definitely love having about an office job or a job that I could go to and leave, is that when you leave, you're done. I mean, there are some jobs where you're on call and so on, but you know, in general, when you leave, you're leaving work behind and you can forget about it and it doesn't matter until tomorrow. And if you're not there, if you get sick one day and you take a day off, somebody else will pick up the work. And, but you know, working from home, it's always there. We never leave the office because the office is at our house. And so then there is a, for me at least, there's a guilt that comes along with not working. So in the evening when we're sitting there watching TV, well, that was dumb because we don't watch that much TV. but when we're sitting there reading a book or, you know, whatever it is, then sometimes it's just gnawing at the back of my head that, you know, you should really go in there and finish that project because you only have a few more things to do. And then you could call that done and, you know, and you could get paid for that job. And so the whole time that I'm sitting there trying to relax and read and take my mind off of things, it's right there. And it's only a few steps away. So I could just go in there. And that's the other thing too, when we can't sleep at night, and usually I can't sleep because I'm thinking about something with work. I get up and I work. So, you know, there are some nights at 2 a.m. I'll just can't go back to sleep. So I'll go down and put 3 hours of work developing a website.
Right. And we've both had both kinds of jobs. You've had job where you go to work for certain hours every day. I've had a job where I go to work certain hours of the day. Do you think you have more time working from home or less time when you work from home?
I think less.
I would have to say that too, which is kind of funny because I used to work when we lived in Cincinnati. I worked downtown at a language institute. And so I would get up and I would have to leave the house 45 minutes at least before because I was driving downtown. So the traffic was absolutely horrendous. And even though I only had, it was like a 5 mile commute, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It would take me 45 minutes to get there in the morning. And then I had to park and then I had to walk a couple blocks to the office and you know, do the same thing in the afternoon. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I almost feel like I had
more time.
More time. But I think but that's because
your downtime is downtime.
But I think that that's because you're not at work.
Right.
Working. Where we're always at work because our work is at home.
Right. And we have a weird blend too, where a lot of our work, you know, with the blog and everything else, like the podcast, you know, it usually takes us about, you know, however long the podcast is. It's a really good analogy, actually, because people might think, oh, well, it takes you guys an hour and 10 minutes or an hour and a half to record the podcast. But they don't realize that, or you know, that there's not just recording the podcast, because then I have to go back and edit out, you know, little bits here and there where something starts burning on the stove or, you know, the dog starts barking or, you know, the computer messes up. So then there's editing time and then I have to encode it and then I have to put it into iTunes and add the artwork and add some tags and then I have to export that and then I have to upload that to archive.org.
And then we have to figure out the hosting because our hosting was crazy expensive and we're trying to keep those expenses from getting higher. So we're trying to find, spending time researching, trying to find better ways to do it to make it a better user experience for the listeners. And yeah. So,
and then
I mean,
we have
probably
to write
takes
the,
us
the post and then we have to troubleshoot iTunes problems and then, you know,
and I end up using a lot of my free time for the blog.
Yeah.
Which means And I have to say this, and I've talked to a couple friends about this, particularly friends, like Angie, which I know she's listening sometime Tuesday or Wednesday, probably. But I've talked to her about this. She's started to eat. She's eating more, you know, real food, local food, trying to limit the amount of processed food in her diet. And I was talking to her and she said, I'm amazed at how much more energy I have and how much more I can accomplish during the day. Mm-hmm. And I do attribute the fact that we can accomplish so much because we fuel ourselves really well.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that that's imperative to being able to accomplish a lot of things. And we are also extremely efficient with our time. I don't waste a minute of time because I know I don't have a minute of time to waste.
Mm-hmm.
So I try not to, find myself getting extremely frustrated when other people are wasting my time. You know, if you have to call someone and, or people you're playing phone tag with because they refuse to email you or use email, which I find that to be one of the most inefficient modes of communication.
Dear listener, if you ever want to communicate with Susie, do not call. Please email.
Oh my
because
goodness.
She won't answer the phone, and B, she will not return your call.
I will return your call, but then it's annoying because then you're never home, and then I have to wait. I mean, yeah, and I do have to deal with some clients like that sometime, and it's just extremely frustrating, the inefficiency. And I think that we try to, I definitely have streamlined a lot of the things I do to get rid of the inefficiency in my life, which, mm-hmm. I mean, if you can save, it's like your budget. You have 24 hours a day, and in your budget, you have whatever you're making as your salary, and you need to cut out the stuff that is wasting your money and your time.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be, I'm an incredibly low maintenance person.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes me 10 minutes to shower and be ready to go somewhere because I put my hair in a ponytail. I'm not, because I feel like I don't have time to waste doing my hair or putting on a ton of makeup or getting ready to go somewhere.
But you're so beautiful, you don't need to do any of that. Yeah.
But those are things that I have cut out of my life because I simply, you have to make that decision. Do I want to plant onions or do I want to straighten my hair?
Right.
So, you know, mm-hmm. do I want to, I don't know. Do I want to make a meal from scratch or do I want to watch the newest episode of whatever TV show? Which I suppose you could cook while you watch TV or listen to TV. Although I find that that makes you do things slower and you waste more time when you try to multitask. But I think that that's one of the big things too, is finding those little bits. You know, when you go through your budget and you're trying to save money, a lot of people say focus on the big things, but I find that to be, I think you should do both. I mean, mm-hmm. you should focus on the big things and the little things because a single drip out of a faucet adds up to a lot of water mm-hmm. in the time of a month. And if you can find a minute here, a minute there, I mean, you might be able to find an extra 10 or 15 minutes every day, which adds up to a couple hours a week,
mm-hmm.
which in a couple hours a week, you can maintain a garden and grow a lot of your own food in a couple hours a week. And I think learning how to do things more efficiently saves time when you're doing those things too. Because mm-hmm. I don't really spend that much time gardening. I think people assume that I spend hours and hours a day doing it. But I probably spend more time blogging and taking photos than I do actually gardening. Because I have figured out efficient methods of doing what I need to do
mm-hmm.
In order to maximize my time in the garden. So I think that's part of it too, is just figuring out how to do that for yourself and kind of taking a good hard look at where you might be wasting time.
Mm-hmm.
And we still waste time on things, I think.
Yeah, but it's because we're choosing to waste that time.
Right. Yeah. And it's not a bad thing to waste time.
And we're conscious. Right.
Conscious.
I couldn't say that we are wasting time. You know, we're purposefully right. doing it rather than just plopping down in front of the TV and spending 3 hours watching shows that at the end of the day, well.
And we find that yeah. even when we are quote unquote wasting time, it's often in research. So yeah, I'll mention this true. Because we've been watching the River Cottage shows, which we really like.
And we'll link up in the show notes.
We'll put so a link in the show notes.
They're actually kind of hard to find on Amazon.
You can buy them on Amazon. We've bought the episodes. I mean, it's what, like $6 or $7 for a season of mm-hmm. 6 to 8 episodes.
It's like $1 an episode, basically.
And they're really great. And we've been watching them, but we've been mainly watching them because we're hoping to start a show ourselves
mm-hmm.
for Chiyot's Run. And so we're kind of watching them as research to get ideas, to see what other people
have
done.
Plus they're very educational.
They're interesting, and you can learn something while you do it. So
that's our downtime.
Is exactly.
research, education, and
exactly. And another, and I have to mention this too, and a benefit to having your own business is that you can get some tax benefits while you are paying self-employment tax, which is more. Say you even have another business, like you work for someone,
mm-hmm.
I would encourage you to start a small business on the side that pertains to one of your hobbies. Because as long as you can find a way to make some money at that, then you can utilize the tax benefits of having your own business. So if you can grow a big garden and start a little farm stand out in front of your house, you can then start to deduct your gardening expenses from your taxes because it's then a viable business. Now you
Please
have to
consult
make sure
your tax your yeah. tax advisor.
Now, you of course, you have to be making money. You can't claim a loss every year or after a couple of years. The IRS deems it a hobby. It has to be like a legitimate business. And you don't want to be writing off your entire house, you know, if you grow a couple seeds in your living room, you can't write that off on your business as a, you know, home office expense or something. You have to be smart about it. But you can use, there are definitely a few tax benefits. And that helps in mitigating, because I mean, taxes will kill your business for sure. Mm-hmm. It's every quarter when I write out the check for the IRS, it's just appalling, really. I mean, it's painful, incredibly painful. And any way you can reduce that legally is a good thing. So, yeah. and that's one of the benefits, kind of. I can write off some of my gardening expenses since I've turned it into a business, mm-hmm. writing about it. So that's a good benefit, I think. But people who work somewhere can do that too, if they turn a hobby into a business and find a way to make a little money out of it. Mm-hmm. And if you do want to work from home, that's a great way to get started.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's definitely something, working from home is something that not everybody should do and not everybody could do.
Right.
And so, you know, it's just something you need to decide for yourself. And one suggestion I would have is that the trend right now, depending on your job, again, obviously, if you're in a manufacturing job or some sort of customer service job, this might be a little more difficult to arrange. But if you're in an office job where you're, you know, entering information or different types of office jobs, you might be able to even arrange a work from home, you know, one or two days a week
yeah.
with your boss, because that's something that a lot of people are doing. And you can, you know, use a variety of excuses for that, whether that be that you're trying to save the environment by saving a little gas or
right.
whatever it might be.
A lot of companies realize that a lot of employees are more efficient
right.
when they're working at home. They get their work done faster because right. they have that incentive to get done faster so they can get more time off.
Right.
Because, I mean, when you work in an office, there's no incentive for you to get your work done in 6 hours that day because you've got to be there for 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of employees, you know, that's one of the things, one of the arguments for.
And the thing is, with anything like that, it doesn't hurt to ask. I mean,
right.
the worst your boss is going to say is no. And, you know, even then they might look on you favorably because you're showing some innovation and some motivation there. So,
right.
So it doesn't hurt to ask. And I know a lot of people, in fact, I was just listening to a podcast the other day and they advised this. And the guy said, you know, especially if you are an asset to the company, that this is something that, you know, companies will do because they don't want to lose you as an employee if you're an asset. So they will make compromises to keep you there. And, you know, like Susie said, a lot of companies are actually looking at this as a viable option. And then they don't have to also have the space for as many as employees because they can rotate employees out of cubicles and so on and so forth. But we don't need to get into that. But yeah, maybe ask your boss, can I work from home one day a week? You know, and go with a plan of how you would do that, what that would look like,
right.
So that you can possibly accomplish that. So do you think we sufficiently answered that question? I don't know. Most of our answers are,
let me read that through that again.
A rambling mess, but
yeah, it's hard to explain because it's such a complex. It's really a complex issue, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And you might find, honestly, that you hate working from home.
Mm-hmm.
We love it because I'm an introvert, so I love it. And now your Aunt Jenny
yeah.
decided she wanted to work from home and got a job working for... She's a nurse, so she got a job doing some sort of medical, like where she would check through litigation and check all the medical facts and make sure they were correct.
Mm-hmm.
And she hated it. She mm-hmm. absolutely hated working from home. After the first week, she just hated it because she did not like not being around other people.
She's very much
an
extrovert,
though. And she loved
the
social aspect yeah. of her life. Absolutely loved it. And so she really hated it. And she had a really hard time mm-hmm. with it. And not, I don't know how long she had that job, but she, as soon as she could, she started looking for a job back working with people and working in, mm-hmm. In a hospital somewhere because she really hated it. Yeah, I mean, it's tough because you might think you like it, but it definitely takes someone who, and it, so I suppose it kind of depends on your job too. See, I wouldn't mind sitting around and reading through that kind of stuff and not talking to other people every day, but I'm an introvert, so that kind of stuff wears me out and makes me really tired and kind of ruins my whole next day. So,
mm-hmm.
I encourage you, I encourage people to try to find a business they can do at home.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's interesting. If anything, it gives you an experience and it makes you realize that maybe it's not the thing for you.
Yeah.
And it's always better. That's why it's better to do it as a hobby, mm-hmm. as a part-time hobby, and try to make money. And then you realize that you love it or you hate it.
And that's a good way to launch a business too, because you're not hanging your whole,
right.
you know, lifestyle and yeah, just throwing caution to the wind and going for it.
And
yeah. No.
Hoping for the best.
And that's kind of how we started too. I mean, we sort of jumped into it with both feet a little bit earlier than we probably should have, or, you know, but it worked out for us at least. Right. So that's good. Well, I think that's good.
I think that's good. And if you have any other questions about this, feel free to ask. We can talk about it. I mean, if people have a lot of questions mm-hmm. about that, because I think if people have never worked from home, they don't.
Yeah, it's just so foreign.
That it is
how
foreign.
Did you even start?
And it is really foreign. And we have had other questions, people asking about how do you start your own business mm-hmm. and how do you do all that? If you have any questions about that, ask. It can be a whole nother podcast or just listener questions during the podcast. Or if you have questions about anything else, if you want to know about garlic, feel free to ask those too.
And we'll try to cover it at some point.
Well, just like this next question, if we want to move on to that. Do we want to move on to this since we're talking about...
That does bring us on to reader questions.
To listen to the message again, press 1.
Did we have a jingle there?
We had a jingle there. I know you can't hear it, but I
can't
have headphones.
Hear it, so. All right.
We're jingling.
So Kim P. asks, a potential question for the podcast.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm just beginning to learn about herbs and to grow them in the... Wait a minute.
You're doing well. You're I'm just reading beginning, as well as I
I'm just beginning to learn about herbs and grow them in addition to using them fresh.
There you go.
That's just a little. Do you have a good overall herb book that you would recommend? And I have a couple listed. I have like the Amazon links in there and I can't see the titles to them. But I would recommend Rosemary Gladstar. I mean, she is, as far as herbs are concerned, she's kind of the, the queen of the queen of the herbal, as far as is concerned, as far as herbs are concerned. She has this book called Rosemary Gladstar's Medicinal Herbs, A Beginner's Guide to 33 Healing Herbs to Know. And I'm assuming that you want to learn how to use herbs medicinally, from this question. And I think that would be a good one, because 33 would be a great number. I think you could focus on learning a couple every year, maybe, and learning how to implement them into your lifestyle. And I find that to be the easiest way to implement any changes like that, whether food related or learning how to use herbs for certain things. Whenever you encounter, like say one of your kids gets a cold, spend some time in this book and other books or on the internet researching some things that you can do. So read up on Tulsi or Holy Basil, which is a fantastic thing to use as tea if you're sick. Mm-hmm. Buy some, read up on it, use it, try it out, see how it works. And then after you do that, you're going to remember that that's what you need for that, or echinacea, or start with the basic ones and then move on from there. And a couple of the other books I've also talked about before, the Medicinal Spices, which is a great book as far as using herbs in cooking, but it talks about all the medicinal benefits of them in the book. It's a great encyclopedia for a lot of herbs. A lot of them are, I mean, it's a lot of the basic ones, and then it's a lot of the kind of weird ones that maybe you've never heard of too, and it has recipes on how to use them, and so that's a good one too. And then I also put a link in the show notes to, I think it's 20,000 Herbal Teas or something like that. I can't remember the title because I don't have it written down. But I think using herbs in teas is a great way to do it as far as a medicinal benefit. Because you can, instead of drinking water, drink a cup of herbal tea. And I'd highly recommend, I love the ones from Mountain Reserve. So we drink a lot of VitaBlend tea, which is just a tea that is full of all kinds of vitamins and minerals and stuff to help you maintain optimum health. And then we drink another one during allergy season that's called Seasons of Discontent. That's got nettle in it and other things that are good at helping keep away seasonal allergies. So, I think herbal teas is a great way to start using herbs medicinally, kind of, but not not as much as medicine. I prefer to use herbs more as a preventative thing to promote overall health so that you don't have to use them medicinally. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend those three books. Definitely start with Rosemary Gladstar's if you're kind of feel like you're at the beginner level and want to start off with kind of like the basic herbs, the basic medicinal herbs and growing them and using them and that kind of stuff. That's a great, definitely would be a great reference to have around.
There is a great, excuse me, there's a great podcast, which I am totally blanking and I was trying to look it up really quickly and couldn't while you were talking there, but there's a really great podcast that I'll look up and I'll link in the show notes. And basically what the guy does is goes plant by plant and tells you what it's good for, what it's used for, you know, whether you can gather it wildly. What's mm-hmm. the word?
Like wild harvesting.
Wild harvesting. Yeah. Or if you can grow it, how to grow it, you know, everything about the herb. And very scientific about it, but he's an herbalist, so mm-hmm. And it's just really neat because his knowledge is just unbelievable, but it's really neat to listen to him. So I'll link that up in the show notes. I cannot find the name of it for the life of me right now. It's on my iPod, which I don't know where my iPod is. I think it's in the car, but I'll link that up.
But it's definitely something that, yeah, it's great to read up on, and I mm-hmm. think it's something that you can
build
knowledge on. You know, every year, one thing I do is that every single year I add 5 or 10 new herbs in the garden.
Mm-hmm. And usually herbs flower, which gives pollinators.
Right. Herbs are usually very good about good pollen or nectar for bees and other pollinators. And they're generally super easy care for the most part. They kind of like to grow in not great soil that, mm-hmm. and you want to grow your herbs in not super great soil because they're healthier that way. But I usually add 5 to 10 new herbs to the garden every year to grow them and learn about using them both medicinally and in culinary purposes. And I can put a link in the show notes. I get most of mine from Richter's up in Canada. They're great. If you want to add herbs to your garden, I highly recommend looking at their catalog, sign on their website and get a catalog and order some stuff from them. I make an order every spring. And they have, I mean, it's ridiculous. They'll have 50 different kinds of thyme. And so every year I add 1 or 2 new kinds of thyme to my garden because I love thyme. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you want to use lemon thyme in a recipe as opposed to the traditional English thyme. So yeah, I mean, it's amazing the different varieties of everything. I mean, there are probably 30 or 40 different kinds of basil, too. Chocolate basil, peppermint basil, pineapple basil, all that kind of stuff. And comfrey. I think they sell 20 or 25 different kinds of comfrey.
And they're herb plants are usually easy to propagate.
In general, yeah. And a lot of them, they sell seeds, little plug packs, which are just like tiny little stem cuttings. Mm-hmm. And then they'll sell regular plants too. It depends on what I'm getting. Sometimes I buy seeds. A lot of times I go with the plug packs in the spring because it's convenient because they're already started and ready to roll. Especially if I didn't buy the seeds in the winter and get things started early. But yeah, It's a great resource, definitely. And sign up and get their catalog because you can just sit and read through that catalog. And they give information in the catalog too, some herbal things. And they'll have a bunch of books in there too. I don't know off the top of my head what books they recommend. But they're, as far as herbs are concerned, they're a fabulous resource for finding just about anything you need to find. And if you don't want to grow it, want to buy it, Mountain Rose Herbs is definitely the place to find that too. Mm-hmm. To find organic herbs to use. They sell tinctures and teas and stuff to use medicinally and the capsules and all that kind of stuff. So they're a great resource as well.
So there you go, Kim. You asked for a book about beginning with herbs. You got 3 books, a podcast, and a company to get a catalog from to look through all winter long and plan out next year. So I guess that answers that question.
That's right.
So, well, folks, I need to get
You've
going
get off
because
hunting and
I
I've
have
gotta
to
make some.
Yeah, Susie's finishing up.
I've got to make some dumplings because I'm making up a bunch of food for all the fearless hunters.
The wonderful thing about having a huge holiday meal before hunting is that the leftovers get turned into wonderful meals for when we're cold right. and tired and so come back.
I'm making a big pot of turkey and dumplings, which they'll eat in the evenings. And then I'm making a big pot of pumpkin soup that they can drink out of their thermoses while they're sitting up on the deer stand. And then smoked turkey sandwiches with cheese and cranberry chutney.
And I bet that makes you hungry, folks. So I hope you have something to eat near you. And then pumpkin pie and ice cream for dessert. So I love my wife because she takes care of me. So we just want to thank you again for listening. We want to thank you for all the wonderful comments that we've been getting, for the iTunes reviews that we've been getting with the 5-star reviews. If you want to support the podcast, again, we've got the calendars available now. They look great. We ordered ours and they've arrived and just look wonderful. So go order a calendar. They make great gifts. Well, especially if you have a gardener that you're buying gifts for. Also, you can go to cultivatesimple.com/support, and we've got our Amazon link there, which there's been a little uptick in our sales. So I think some people are using that to buy some Christmas gifts, and that's great.
And Mountain Rose Herbs.
And that,
I'm one of their Mountain affiliates. Rose Herbs. We talked about herbs today. They give me a little percentage of what you buy there.
Yep. So. And we're going to have some others coming up here pretty soon.
Right. We got a new one to announce on Tuesday.
Yep.
So tomorrow.
Tuned in to the blog, unless they're listening to it on Wednesday,
because it was yesterday. Yeah, but, yesterday.
You know, but who knows? It's all time shifted and fun and exciting. But yeah, any way that you can help support us, that would be great. We did have to increase our server again. So which I feel
we're
like
up
I say
into
that
the
every
three
week.
Digit a month bills.
Yeah,
and that's before the zero, before the .00 at the end. So.
So good times there, good times, good times. But and be sure to check out Eat Outside the Bag too. Subscribe to the RSS feed over there.
I haven't written much over there.
I know, but you're going to. There's just too many other things to do, honey. That's what we're talking about today.
I know.
So, but no matter what you're doing this week, you guys know what's coming. Cultivate simple.
I'd rather be a farmer. I'd rather work the land. I'd rather see the mountain sides. I'd rather see your hand. I'd rather swim the ocean. I'd rather not pretend.